Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Monday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Ganwell, your local alternative solid state radio.
A very snowy Monday.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard it was going to snow, but it's getting kind of crazy out there. Be careful out there if you're driving.
Yeah, was not exactly thrilled to wake up and see that starting to come down this morning. I'll take it for the fact that it looks like we're not going to have any snow on Christmas Day, which is...
No, I heard it was like supposed to be like low 50s.
Yes.
And you know what? That's awesome. I remember, you may remember a couple years ago where it was like that kind of weather. Dorothy and I, we didn't have the kids on Christmas Day. We sat out and had a fire in the backyard. It was amazing.
You can't beat that.
No. It was great. I was wearing my Montreal Canadiens jersey.
He remembers what jersey he was wearing. My God.
Yes, yes.
The Rain Man never stops with this guy.
Or Snowman. Snowman today.
Yeah.
I think I got snow, snowflake in my ear.
Oh, that's always fun, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're looking at mid-40s Christmas Eve, close to 50 on Christmas Day and on Tuesday. I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
And I bet anyone who actually has to do any significant amount of driving on Christmas is also entirely okay with this.
Exactly. Going to snow all day today. Well, it looks like it's going to calm down. Calm down. Probably around 9 o'clock. Just be really windy.
Yeah. Talking wind gusts like 30 plus miles an hour over the course of the evening.
Yeah,
so it's going to be blowing around till like, till 9 or 10 it's going to be falling. And then, wasn't it supposed to be like 42 today? Well, I think... No, they revised that, I guess, 33. Because, it was supposed to be, like, in the 40s this morning, and then apparently it's just steadily dropped since, so
this
is going to sit here till like, Wednesday, probably, in all likelihood.
We've gotten off pretty light. I mean, it's December 18th. We've had one snow, and that was on Halloween. Thanks. There you go, kids. Enjoy.
Yeah. Not that I'm big on the white Halloween, either.
No, we're supposed to have a white Christmas, not a white Halloween. Thank you, global warming.
Yeah, we'll go with that. But all that being said, I'm not complaining about Christmas not being a...
No, not at all.
The white Christmas people are weird. I'm sorry. It's like, you people, I don't... I mean, if you don't have to leave your home for any reason, okay.
Yeah, look out. Drink your cocoa, look outside. Oh, it's pretty, it's white.
Okay. While the rest of us are sliding around trying to get to work that we still have to do.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, screw you people. Like, and I truly mean that with all peace and love, really.
I'm dreaming of white Christmas. Just like the ones I had. Oh, my God.
Oh, God, not another deer.
However, deer, you know probably exactly what a deer sounds like when you hit them.
No clue.
Just if you hit them in the hind quarter, it's more like. You hit them head on, it's like.
Yeah, they don't make a whole lot of noise, not going to lie to you.
If you hit them in Little Italy, he's like, hey, I'm walking here.
It's funny because it's true.
I'm going to shove my hoof up your...
Oh, much to do today. We'll get into the Lions next. I'm sure we've got some Red Wings things to discuss. I hear there's a bowl game of some sort today, too. So plenty of ground to cover between now and 6 o'clock. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Imagine Dragons at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And, well, the Lions, you know,
yay.
You really kind of needed them to come out and get really make a statement on Saturday night. And thankfully that statement wasn't that we're just rolling over and giving up on the season.
Right.
So that was nice.
Yeah, they beat the Broncos. Nicely done.
Decisively beat the Broncos at that.
Yeah, it wasn't one of those squeak out a win in the final 3 minutes like we've been seeing. So that was good. Good to see.
Very good to see. And all the way around, like just a good performance from this whole team. Jared Goff, I mean, the first three drives of the game weren't good. He was missing a lot of open receivers and really just did not look like he was playing at his best. And then in the last three quarters, he goes and totally redeems himself.
Yep. He is a second half kind of QB, which is fine because after halftime, if you're down by just a few points, you're not sweating it. You're like, okay, I have faith in Jared Goff, we trust.
Which is a weird thing to say, but yet here we are, actually having faith to some extent in a quarterback in this town for the first time in like ever. Just not used to it, you know?
Well, I had faith in Joy Harrington.
You were literally the only one.
I was the only. No, I didn't have any faith in him.
Like, your running game was actually pretty solid all the way around. Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery were just breaking tackles and just getting all sorts of just yards per carry. They combined for 185 yards on just 28 carries, an average of over 6.5 yards per carry on the night, and then Gibbs had 2 touchdowns on the night. And, oh my God, Sam Laporta. 6 targets, 5 catches for 56 yards, 3 touchdowns. Like, he's just kind of become the safety valve in this offense. Like, he gets open. He, you know, he's got the best hands of probably anybody on the team. And just has a way of getting it done when you need him to. Even the wide receiver room, everyone did kind of get involved in one way or another. Amon-Ra St. Brown had his 700-yard game of the season. Josh Reynolds had a couple big plays. And then there's J-Mo. First time in his career he had more than 2 touches in a game. He had 4 catches for 47 yards on the night. And that's all. A lot of this comes back on your offensive line. Like, you open up plenty of holes in the running game, like massive holes for Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. And for the most part, other than Goff getting sacked twice, you manage to keep him upright and give Goff all day to pass. Like, having Ragnow back, and I said this on Friday's show, that Ragnow is going to be the key here. Like, having your starting O-line back and healthy is going to make the biggest difference. I mean, we've said it. You're just not going to have all 5 of your starting offensive linemen healthy all year. It doesn't work that way in the NFL. Very rarely does it. And unfortunately, on this team, when that happens, and it's inevitable that it's going to happen, it kind of exposes your lack of depth there, which the Lions really are very short in that department. So it was nice to see everybody healthy when it mattered most. And you really don't even have any complaints about your defense by and large. And even Dan Campbell managed to not do stupid things. Like, it was so bad. Like, the game was so bad and getting out of hand for the Broncos so much that, like, Sean Payton's just sitting there screaming at Russell Wilson on the Broncos sideline. It was just fantastic. And Campbell didn't really have a lot of in-game decisions to screw up or question or whatever. And everything Ben Johnson broke out seemed to work. So all the way around, it was exactly the performance you wanted to see from the Lions that put you in good position. Like, you win one of the next 3 games, you win the NFC North. And, oh, well, you look at that. Minnesota's now in their 3rd-string quarterback.
Yeah. Thank you, Cincy.
Yeah, appreciate that, you guys. Yeah, so Nick Mullins going out there now. And you got to expect you should be able to take care of business there. He's a pocket passer. He is not a mobile guy at all. And the Lions really seem to thrive in that situation, typically. I mean, we've talked about the hell that they usually that gets laid upon them by mobile QBs, although this weekend's apparently was an exception to that rule. So you got to think your odds are pretty good there. Do I still think you're beating Dallas? Not necessarily, although they did lose in spectacular fashion to the Bills over the weekend.
Did they? Oh, yes, they did. I remember seeing that.
It was pretty fantastic, I'm not going to lie. Like, I absolutely loved this. But do I necessarily think it's going to mean anything when it comes to the Lions? No, because the Bills are a good team. And I love, by the way, Josh Allen's quote after that game about, you know, it's a lot like, you know, being the kid that didn't do anything in the group project and still got an A. Like, actual quote from that man. I love that person.
Was he referring to himself?
Yes. Yes, it was like, I feel like the kid who got the
same grade as everybody else and didn't contribute to the project, yeah.
Exactly. Like, I honestly love that. Like, and he didn't have to do it a whole lot.
No.
But I'll do this 10 times, man. Like, keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, 31-10, the final over there, making Dallas very much look mortal. And already you've got a lot of people on fraud alert regarding dem boys, which, yeah, I'm entirely fine with that.
Saturday night game for that on December 30th. Again, Lions taking on Dallas at Jerry World.
That should be fun, and I don't think I have anything I got to do on Saturday night, so I'm going to have to make sure that I'm going to have to get a local watering hole and get some people out for this thing, because that's going to be a fun game.
Yep.
But we're looking ahead a bit yet. I mean, you still have the Vikings you got to beat for the first of two times. And the Vikings are not in great position right now. Meanwhile, the Lions, you need one of the next three games to win the division. You're now, I believe, officially clinched a playoff spot with the win on Saturday. And that's really what I was looking for, because there was, I admit, a little part of me that was worried that if they didn't get it done and take care of business right away, that they were going to have to depend on that last game, and that's usually where the SOL kicks in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could, because I mean, even where the Lions find themselves right now, I could see them taking that first game against Minnesota, squeaking out a win against Dem Boys, but then losing on January 7th to the Vikings.
And you don't want to see that happen. Like that, in past years, in previous Lions teams, that's probably exactly what would have happened. And you really cannot afford to have that right now. Like, you want to see them actually take care of business early and often, clinch that division against the Vikings. Like, you'd like to be in a position where, ideally, you can rest some guys that last week and get ready for that home playoff game. Although, you never know. You might still actually be playing for playoff seeding at that point. Like, you're only, as of right now, you're still tied with Philly and Dallas for the moment. You're tied with Dallas for first place or second place, the second seed in the NFC. A lot of things are pending the game tonight, I believe, the Eagles Seahawks. And here we find ourselves rooting for Seattle, I think.
I guess.
I don't know. That's one, again, that could actually go either way. Because I believe if Seattle gets eliminated, I guess that really doesn't matter at this point. So I think, yeah, you're kind of rooting for the Seahawks here, because you've already made the playoffs. Now you would just like to make the you'd just like to get ahead of the game here and secure, you know, the best seed possible. And right. Well, we'll look all that stuff and figure it out here later.
Sure.
Right now, here's Royal Blood at Solid State Radio. Hippocampus at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. It's happy hour. And as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Not the outcome that we were hoping from the Red Wings on Saturday. We had a Lions win. I was hoping for a Red Wings win to match, but no.
Would have been nice.
1-0. Now, I didn't get a chance to see the game because I was delivering 3 hours of local original music.
Is that what you do on Saturday nights?
Yes, absolutely. So I want to go back and watch the game, or sit down and watch the highlights and find out why everybody is bitching about Ville Husso. Said they would have been better off if Husso didn't do this. Ville Husso didn't even get a start at net. Alex Lyon did. He let in the one goal, then gets injured. Husso comes out, makes 18 saves, and is your third star. Cam York with the lone goal in the first period.
Yeah, Alex Lyon ended up going out because he started.
Yep.
And he gave up the only goal of the night.
Right.
That was weird, almost kind of own goal thing. Like, the puck deflected over Lyon.
Oh.
Like, Confer got a stick on it, but could not, you know, get it cleanly to clear it.
Yeah, that part I did see. I did see the first, because I watched some of the highlights to find out what happened to Alex Lyon. And they never really, the highlights really didn't explain that. But I saw that the Cam York goal, and it was
the only goal that
it was pinballing all around. They originally gave it to somebody else, and I'm like, I think that's Cam York's goal.
I mean, technically, it probably should be Alex Lyon's goal, but, you know, such as it is.
Yeah, that's what he wants to. Yeah. Yeah, your first star of the game, bud, for the other team.
Yeah, and it wasn't really. So, no, it wasn't Husso's fault by any means. Like, he did good. He did fine.
He stopped all 18 saves that came his way. Exactly. But they're making it sound like he is the fault. He's the reason they lost the game. But, of course, these are all the slappies that you see on Facebook pages that, you know, people like me who don't even know how to ice skate try to make it sound like, you know, this is what they need to be doing.
Exactly. I mean, Confer certainly had some rust to shake off. And, you know, not having Larkin doesn't help. But so far, like, this season, if you can believe this, the team hasn't won a game in which they've scored fewer than 4 goals. That's an issue.
Yeah.
That's a serious problem. If you can't win, like, low-scoring games, like, you're boned, man.
That's playoff hockey. You're not going to have too many playoff hockey games where it's 5-3. You're going to have to learn to play with a 2-1 lead.
Yeah, at some point you're just going to have to do that, and you're going to have to figure out how to do that. Because, like, if you expect to be in the playoffs this year, you're going to have to figure that out. I mean, the goaltending was okay. Goaltending was great by and large, which was a nice change of pace. The problem is, I mean, when no one's putting up points, that doesn't help you any. So tonight you got the Ducks. You have a 5-game losing streak coming into this thing.
Yep, and I believe, was it Detroit is favored? Well, Detroit's actually favored. The goal spread is 6.5. So we'll find out how it's going. I don't know if we have projected lineups yet. Larkin will be making his return to the Red Wings. So that's
back, by the way. We're not on the 5-game losing streak. Anaheim is.
I thought that's what you said. They,
yeah. No, I guess it was. I don't know what I said.
You said okay. Anaheim. You're on board. You're on the trolley.
Good. That makes one. Well, maybe not me. I mean, but they snapped that streak against the Devils yesterday. So they.
Yeah. I mean, the Ducks have not had a great season. 11-19-0. There's a lot of talk that they want to trade John Gibson, and of course the Slappies, that are the Red Wing fans, are like, we need John Gibson. No, do you really?
Do we need John Gibson?
He's on a team that is 11-19-0. I don't think you just want every goalie you see because you don't like your dance partner. Sorry, this is who you brought to the dance.
Do you really want another goalie, or are you just saying you want another goalie?
Well, you got 3 right now. You got to figure out what to do with.
Well, Lyon's hurt now, so they haven't really yet said what's officially going on with that.
MLive is their headline just says feeling good, expects to return soon.
Well, that's a positive at least. It's something. As far as Gibson goes, like, we talked about it. We talked about it on, what, Thursday show? He's not really that much of an upgrade over what you got. And in Anaheim, let's be honest, we're not the team that's in desperate need of goaltending right now. You know who is?
The Edmonton Oilers. Yes.
Because they're just not getting it done. I mean,
Kenny Holland, he's probably bringing up Dominik Hasek.
You can still come back and play, right?
No, I'm retired.
I mean, it's so bad right now that, I mean, we know Stuart Skinner's doing terribly.
Yeah.
Like, Jack Campbell got demoted to the AHL, and he's so bad, he might end up in the ECHL before the end of the season.
Oh, wow.
Like, Calvin Pickard's your backup right now.
Oh, geez. That poor team.
I know. Like, that. It's really a sad state of affairs over there. So, if anyone's going to get Gibson, although if there's a better goalie to be had out there, I imagine that they're going to pursue that, or Kenny Holland just going to see what goalies he remembers from the mid-2000s.
Yeah, he's going to break out his 2000 Rolodex and say, huh.
Brodeur, what's he doing these days?
Dwayne Roloson. Oh, yeah, let's bring him back. Let's bring back Rolly the goalie.
I said, didn't Edmonton try that not that long ago?
Yes, he did. I mean, it got him to the Stanley Cup Finals in 06, but, I mean, that was 06.
06.
That was a long time ago.
That was a few years ago now.
17 years ago, something like that. Yeah, I mean, it's
long enough. Yeah, about 17 years ago.
Long enough to know better. So, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, that's the way Kenny Holland works is, you know, he just tries to remember. It's like he doesn't pay attention to the current team. He probably doesn't even know his own players.
Probably not. He probably thinks he's still in Detroit, to be fair.
He's like, hey, Ryan Nugent Hopkins wants to speak to you. Woo, stranglehold, yeah. No, Kenny, sit down. Sit down, bud.
Don't get too excited, bud.
Right.
Not nearly as much fun. As far as lineups, I think we might have like probable lineups. Like, I don't think we have anything like.
I don't think Newsy's going to be changing things too much.
I would imagine not. I mean, Husso is probably getting the start tonight, though.
Yeah.
That's. The suggestion.
I mean,
here.
He made 18 saves. He was third star for a reason. I mean, and in that game, you know, the shots on goal, talking about Philly and Detroit, they were even. Philly won a little bit more in the faceoff circle. Nobody scored on the power play. So, I mean, it was a fairly equal game. The forwards just weren't forwarding.
Yeah, do that thing where you like, where there's like offense and stuff. Maybe try that and see how that works out for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly. They've got the firepower.
Now, let's just see him actually maybe make an attempt to use it.
Now I'm starting to sound like my mom every report card. I know you. I've seen you do the work. We've seen you do it. We know you have it in you.
God, we're halfway between that and, you know, shoot the puck guy.
Yeah, no. Just shoot the puck.
And no one wants to be that guy. Here's talk at Solid State Radio. Capital City is your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell, and he's about to make me feel old as hell, apparently.
Yeah, well, just remember, no matter how old I made you feel, I'm already older. Here is a blog where...
Well, I mean, that's, I guess, technically true, because you are actually, like, older enough than
old,
me.
Yeah.
You're old.
Old. But the thing is, I haven't quite reached that age where it's adorable when I make inappropriate comments. I'm not like the lovable dirty old man. I'm just a pervert.
Yeah,
you got to work your way up.
No, yeah, you're definitely get off my lawn phase, but not quite at lovable old pervert phase though.
No,
sorry to tell you,
so,
like the waitresses still probably don't really appreciate you. You know, your attempts to fondle them and whatnot.
Yeah, it's a. It's something you have to work up to. There was a blog out there, courtesy of The Chive. Kids today won't understand this, and people kind of chime in, comparing the generations.
Sure.
Mainly Generation X, which you're not Generation X, but you pretty much show all the signs. Somebody
there, I guess.
Somebody posted in their freedom, starting around age 10 to around age 14 when I got back from school, nobody knew where I was until dinner, and nobody cared. The only rule was be home before dinner, which was about 7 p.m. And that's fair. I mean, after school, I just went home and played Nintendo and, you know, messed around and stuff like that. But, yeah, sometimes I go over to a friend's house and didn't have to check in. Just show up every once in a while.
Right. That was always nice, certainly.
Yeah, usually my friend's family would be having dinner. Get out, and then I'll go back to my house, have dinner there. And that's another thing. I was like, you know, kids don't understand. Like, I don't know if a lot of families still do this, but they have actual dinner time where they all sit down at the same time. We'll have dinner ready, and kids just kind of help themselves. And sometimes they'll go up to their rooms or they'll sit in the – we don't even have a dining room table. We do, but it's dismantled.
That's fair.
We just sit in the living room and watch usually Simpsons when we eat.
I mean, we're also in a spot where we don't have children, so right. It's literally just the two of us. So like, we probably eat dinner together like more than half the week, probably.
Yeah,
but it's just two of us. Well, basically, any night where she's actually coming home before I go off to my other job,
right?
So it usually works out at least 4 or 5 nights a week,
right?
Counting the nights that we end up just saying screwed going out for dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Actual toy prizes and cereal boxes. Now, do they
not still do that?
I think they still do a lot. Sometimes, I mean, sometimes those give you like a coupon you send in for something, and it's like a storybook for kids to encourage kids reading. And I remember one time I got a DVD.
Tell me, I gotta do actual work to get a book now?
Yeah, the hell
that seems BS. I don't even know how to read.
Yeah, I remember. Do you remember like the contest they would have? Hey, send in this many proof of purchases, and you could be in the drawing to win $100, courtesy of Captain Crunch. And no purchase necessary. For a free chance to play, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to this. Like anybody who like didn't buy the product won.
Right. No one who actually spent the actual money on the product actually won it ever.
Well, they probably did, but the one kid is like, oh yeah, my parents won't let me have Captain Crunch cereal, so I'm gonna send a self-addressed stamped envelope. Oh, it's back. Oh, somebody just blew their nose into it. You didn't win. You didn't buy my cereal. Sincerely, Captain Crunch.
Right. Signed by the actual Captain Crunch himself.
Yeah. I've enclosed a soggy in the envelope for you.
Here's a sample of what your parents would be giving you in the morning if they loved you.
Exactly. Enjoy your tree bark and milk, you... All right, having to wait through a TV guide, only to miss what you're looking for and having to wait even longer for it to come back again. Those people, I'm older than those people because I remember actually having the TV guide come in the mail. And I was that nerd that actually read the articles in TV guide.
You would be
the
that
cheers
guy.
And jeers and everything else. But yeah, I mean... TV guide, my dad getting all pissed off because he couldn't find it to find out what was on and all that. But yeah, the TV channel, they would have just a scroll of everything going on. And I dated a woman for a long time, and her mom would just sit there and watch just the TV guide channel for like hours.
How?
Trying to find something to watch. I'm like, you've seen them all. You probably memorized the entire list at this point.
Yeah, like this is back when that channel didn't have actual programming on it even. It was just
commercials,
the scroll, and, you know, endless commercials for 1-900 psychic lines. Lots of those. The occasional other infomercial in there, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, mostly that. Like, now, like, that channel has, like, actual, like, TV shows on it and stuff. It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
I don't even know, like, the channel still exists, but I think they actually might have finally gotten rid of the guide part of it.
Oh, yeah, it's a TV guide channel, but they just show like old shows and things like that. Because I mean, most people,
we know you don't want to watch anything new that's on the air.
Yeah,
like,
because I mean, up until this point, everybody, there's a guide that you just hit a guide and just here's what's playing, and that's if you watch, you know, broadcast television. Most of the time, it's, you know, streaming services. For us.
Exactly.
Taking pictures with film cameras and waiting for them to get developed, only to find out how bad you looked or how bad of a photographer you are.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of people, like, see, I grew up in the era that, you know, everyone set up a photography page on Facebook because everyone thought they were just the world's greatest, you know, photographer because they just acquired their first smartphone.
Yep. Yep, and everything's like black and white as of a lawn chair. You know, oh yeah, they're so avant-garde. No, I remember taking pictures with a film camera at Yankee Stadium, and you know, taking pictures, and I thought I got some great pictures, but then opened up the back of it on accident and exposed the film, screwed up all the pictures.
Way to go!
Yeah, it didn't. It was okay. The Tigers lost, but
oh, fair. But well, at least you don't have to feel that bad.
Or
about
you know,
them.
Getting pictures and you're. Damn thumbs in the way.
Right.
Phone books. Every once in a while, one would just show up at our front door, and it was huge. Like, there's a lot of people like, oh, rip a phone book in half. Oh, that's pretty big. Now there's actually phone books. There's still phone books that show up, but they're tiny little, you know, like a little magazine.
Are they that small now?
Yep.
I mean, I know they, like, got fair, like, they used to be, like, they were literally, like, the size of an effing dictionary, but,
yeah.
Like, now, like... I still see them show from time to time, but I didn't think it's quite that thin.
It's getting pretty thin. Affordable housing, yeah.
We've never gotten one of those since we've been here.
Yeah,
for what it's worth, the affordable house or the phone book, either
way. Yeah. Affordable housing that is not going on anymore. I mean, there's people renting an apartment for more than my mortgage payment. Yeah,
so yeah, same. Like we got pretty lucky in that department. Meanwhile, like. Had I actually had any sort of disposable income when I was graduating high school, could have had us a foreclosure of some sort for like $20,000 or less.
Yeah, there was that. It was crazy. Phone booths. Now every once in a while, people will like take a picture of a phone booth, and or a pay phone, post on Facebook, and I'll always put in a comment. You checked the coin slot, didn't you? And they're like, yeah.
Well, of course.
You know, see, a quarter from 1985.
Because that's the last time anyone's actually needed one of these. Because, I mean, my entire life, cell phones have at least existed.
Yep.
I even remember needing a payphone or being with someone who needed a payphone at any point in my lifetime.
I remember outside the Pix Theater, there being a bank of four payphones. And it was because, you know, you get out of the theater. Mom, come pick me up.
It makes sense.
And can't get on there because there's a big line of kids at every payphone. I mean, they made some bank.
Oh yeah, that thing just more than made up, you know, paid for itself every night.
Oh,
I'm sure,
absolutely. And then, you know, and they had filthy things, just absolutely terrible. Because it seems like, oh, I can't find a place to put my chewing gum. Let's put it right on the mouthpiece of a payphone. Jerks.
A-holes. Who does this? Yeah. Who does this?
Who does this?
What's wrong with you?
Apparently, we were grocery shopping, and I was maybe 3-4 years old, and Mom lost track of me. It was a 70, so I was like, ah, nobody's going to take him. Or if he does, hey, I can have my youth back. so apparently I was at the payphones up by the front of the by the registers talking to one of the operators. Just having a nice conversation.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Privacy. Oh, here's a tinfoil hat.
Well, here we go.
Back in the day, the only way someone could know what I was up to was if they physically followed me. Now my smartphone does that for them. Okay.
Yeah, to be fair, the people who complain about everything spying on me, so on and so forth, I mean, you literally are carrying around the easiest, like, spying device, ever devised to man. People willingly do it.
Yeah, that is something. You've been a big proponent of not having things like that. You won't even let us have a Alexa device in our studio.
I don't look, we already have these devices listening to the things we're saying. I don't need another one that goes like directly to Jeff Bezos, you know, listen to what we're saying. Because you're going to want to start saying some really, you know, not great things in front of the Alexa, and those things are going to end up getting us on a list somewhere. That's really not what we need.
Not that you really want to go flying anyway, again.
I mean, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but also, I mean, do I really have a great desire to do it again anytime soon? No.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it would have to be the destination.
Yeah. If it's somewhere that I can't just drive. And trust me, the definition of, oh yeah, we can totally drive that is probably farther for me than for a lot of people.
You've never had a vehicle like this, I believe. The high beam switch in your car was on the floor by your left foot.
No.
We had one van my dad bought used to haul lumber and stuff like that. And it was a 74 Ford van, I think. Mm. Had a dimmer switch right there by the left. Restaurant smoking sections. There's been a couple times. I mean, I seriously went into a restaurant. Went to the hostess, whatever.
Yeah.
And almost like out of habit, say, yeah, two, non-smoking.
you still do this?
Every once in a while, I catch myself, but I'm like, oh, yeah. I come across like a real a-hole.
Right. Like, I am probably one of the, like, I do have some memory of that time when it was still legal in this state. I believe it was
2010.
So I would have. It would have been like a year before I was legally old enough to drink in a bar. I don't miss the whole smoking thing in the bars, though. I really, truly don't. Like, I rather like being able to breathe when I actually go out to pollute my liver.
Yeah.
Kind of nice.
Yeah, it's just playing in bands. When that first started, so many people were like, I'm not going to bars anymore. I'll just have people over my house. Yeah, that's a great idea. Why don't you have them over there? Have them get really, really drunk. And if they get popped or something like that, have you being responsible? Yes, absolutely. Go ahead and do that.
I think that's a great idea, actually. I mean, and also I still kind of do it, but not for that reason.
Yeah, well, this was like, you're not, take that state of Michigan. It's like, it's not the state, I mean, it is the state of Michigan. They make it sound like the restaurants all team together. It's like, you know, let's get rid of smoking. No, it was the state of Michigan that banned smoking. And everybody's just like, well, I'm just going to buy the booze and liquor and have it at my house. Well, the state still gets that taxes. So you've done nothing except for hurt the business of these watering holes and restaurants and stuff like that.
Although I have had, you know, it had pretty consistently since I started bartending, the people, like, we can smoke in here now, right? Like, the people who hang out late enough that just assume that I'm going to let them light one up as soon as, like, the rest of the place clears out. And, yeah, like, no, my answer is always no, because I don't want to smell it. I hate the people that bring in those the stupid the vapes. Especially the weed vapes, which you smell just absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
Like, you people, I don't understand how anyone lets you into their home.
Yeah, that's just nasty. That's nastier than a lot of cigarettes. But what I didn't like when we first had the smoking ban, that you'd be playing, and then everybody would, like, get up to go smoke, and you'd be playing to nobody, and then it's like, and there's, like, people that came to hang with us.
Yeah.
And, well, we wanted to, you know, be here when, you know, in between breaks, so, you know, we can hang out with you. I was like, yeah, but we want you to, I mean, it's pretty bad when the owner, you start playing, people get up and leave.
Right.
It's like, you're not helping.
I said, I don't think it had anything to do with the smokes, Adam.
Yeah.
But no, like, and it's amazing to me. Like, there are some nights at, you know, places I work where there'll be more people, you know, out in the smoking lounge than there are actually inside of the bar. Like, we, yep, still haven't gotten over this whole thing where, like, we compulsively absolutely are willing to go out and freeze your nuts off to do something you don't even enjoy doing. Have you ever actually met a smoker who actually enjoyed smoking, who enjoys the taste of cigarettes, like literally enjoys anything about that process? Or
there's some people that just love it for, you know, the calming effect of it, and there's some people that just like to get away. Like Dorothy's a smoker. A lot of times when the kids are, you know, a little hyperactive, she's like, "Well, I'm going to go smoke." At that point, I'm like, "I'm going to come with you." Wait, what? The whole idea was to get away from you people. Well, too bad. Move over. But yeah, I mean, there was, as a non-smoker, I would hang out with a bunch of smokers, and it sucked because, hey, watch my purse. I'm gonna go smoke. I'm gonna go with you. Next thing you know, I'm sitting there alone watching everybody's stuff while they go and smoke for like 20 minutes. There's one time I showed up, and hey, Adam's here. All right, because they invited me. I think they just needed somebody to watch their stuff. So they all sat there. We're going to go smoking. And after like 20, 25 minutes, I just went in there. It's like, hey, your stuff's unguarded. I'm out. See ya.
Right. Try being the only coworker at your job that doesn't smoke. Like, I swear to God, they've taken like 25 smoke breaks this effing hour, yes, whereas I'm stuck here doing all of the work because we just can't go 10 minutes without that Nick fix.
Yeah, exactly. And they think they're just out there 5 minutes, or they want to make it sound like they're just out there 5 minutes. But
half hour later.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's always that way. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. Whole damn mess at your local alternative Solid State Radio. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. I don't know if you've heard about this. It's quite frankly hilarious to me because this is a team that's more or less been in the driver's seat for an NFC like top seed all year long, but the Eagles are apparently just in panic mode somehow, despite the fact that, well, they're arguably the best team, or at least one of the two best teams in the NFC. They've made a change at defensive coordinator.
Who has?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, boy.
And want to know who they brought in to be their new defensive coordinator?
Oh, Bluto?
Yep, you're damn right. Matt Patricia. You just hate to see it.
Because, you know, it worked so well in Detroit.
And literally anywhere since he left New England time around.
Oh, my God. People just think, when are they going to realize that it was all Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? That magic was just... It was a Belichick and Brady show. That
and honestly, Belichick doesn't seem to have the magic without Brady either. Like, there's rumor going around that he could be fired after this season.
I bet you he retires.
Well, it doesn't sound like he has any interest in retiring, and he doesn't seem to have any interest in going away quietly, necessarily. Like, he's going to make them either pay him out in full or something to be rid of him. Like, he's not wanting to take the fall here. But, yeah, Patricia, it was announced, Ian Rappaport reported on Sunday morning that he'll be on the sideline calling the plays starting Monday night against the Seattle Seahawks.
Doesn't the Eagles also have Schwartz?
That's Cleveland.
Cleveland? He was part of...
He was at one point,
okay,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Now he's with the Browns this season. Defensive coordinator Sean Desai will move to the coaching booth where he'd called plays from while DC with the Bears in 2021. It seems kind of odd that you would move on in this way after a few bad games against what are ultimately elite teams. Like, this seems like a little bit of an overreaction considering the last, like, if this is just based on those recent games with Philly where, of course, last week you lost to the Cowboys and the week before that was the 49ers, I believe. Like, you can't really take a game against an elite team in San Fran and one against a really good team in Dallas and overreact to it that much. There's got to be something else here. Like, you don't panic week 15 and demote a guy and bring in and promote a dude who is well known to be a failure at the position pretty much since he left New England the first time around.
Yeah. And then he went back there and didn't do that great, if memory serves.
Well, they put him as co-offensive coordinator. Like, he's been a defensive guy his entire career. And then you make him and Joe Judge your co-OCs or, you know, whatever the official title they gave him so they didn't have to call him OC so that the Lions would still have to pay out his salary and the Giants would still have to pay out Judge's or whatever. Like, there were stupid things like that going on. But it just seems overreactionary for them, a stupid decision all the way around. Like, he hasn't been good literally since he got hired by the Lions. Like, the Eagles didn't face a whole lot of what you call adversity last season, and it's rather interesting to see that the first time they actually do, they completely and utterly panic in mid-December.
Yikes.
Like, everything about it's stupid, and I don't... And I'm going to laugh when it blows up spectacularly in their face. Like, okay, maybe all of a sudden I want to face the Eagles in the first round of the playoffs. Like, all of a sudden, this doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world. Like, with Patricia on board, like, the sky's the limit, or I guess really the ground's the limit, but...
Yeah, right.
Either way,
let's see Philly tamper with things enough, and then...
blow it and just screw it all up.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking forward to. Yeah. Here's David Kushner. It's Daylight at South State Radio. Taproot at your local alternative South State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And, you know, there are a few things that annoy restaurant servers more than you have a big old party that walks in of, like, you know, 10 to 15 people, has given nobody any heads up whatsoever, and then gets offended that they can't be seated right away.
Yeah.
And this was kind of an interesting, like, this woman on TikTok apparently freaked out because she claims the server was rude to her and her party of 15. This woman had a bone to pick with a restaurant server who waited on her and her enormous party. While you might find it easy to choose sides here, she presents her side of the story with as many details as possible. She recalls her negative interaction with a hostess at a restaurant after she came in with a party of 15 and asked to be seated. And I'm going to be the first person to tell you, you know, as a dude who's worked a lot of restaurant jobs over the years, there's nothing more of a pain in the ass than people who have, like, decided, we're going to show up with an army of people with no reservations whatsoever and expect you to immediately scramble to find us a seat within, like, 5 minutes, or we're all going to be pissed off at you forever. And better yet, add to it, oh, our whole party isn't here yet.
That is a pain in the butt. Now, I will say, try to find a restaurant that takes reservations anymore. That is becoming more and more difficult.
Really? I mean, I feel like a lot of places are still doing the reservation thing, or at the very least, you know, letting you, hey, just so y'all know, like, an hour, like, we're, you know, later today we're bringing in, like, a bunch of people. Like, yeah, we take reservations, you know, to an extent at the place I work at. Like, when you've got, like, a big party coming in.
Sure.
Like, no one wants, trust me, working that place alone, you don't want to have a 30 top just dropped on you.
Yeah. Well, your place is also kind of a party atmosphere. It's a watering hole that has a full menu. It's not like Applebee's, you know, compared to where you work. You know what I'm saying? Because there's been a couple times, I don't want to give the name out, but, you know, just wanted to make sure that we had a table. And they're like, oh, we don't do reservations. I'm like, okay, well. And that seems to be...
Well, I mean, there's a difference, too, between, I mean, you're probably just trying to secure reservations for you and Dorothy versus someone who's trying to,
like,
coordinate.
It was more than just me and Dorothy, but it wasn't 15 either.
Right.
So it was like, you know, maybe six.
So according to the TikToker in question, there were no other customers in the restaurant at the time except for three people at the bar. She even stated they would have been understanding if they couldn't be taken in at such short notice. Now, she claims the hostess responded with an eye roll and proceeded to display some sort of attitude while seating and serving the party. While her husband wanted to remain polite during their time there, this lady was ready to order up some, quote, petty spaghetti, and already I hate you just for that alone. She was prepared to match her energy by responding to her rudeness in kind, but she claims by the end of it, the hostess loved the group but didn't really enjoy her company. So she liked the rest of the group, but... He had an issue with you? Well, it sounds like it might just be a you problem, lady.
Yeah, yeah.
Hate to break that to you.
Exactly. I mean, does the writer say how long it took the rest of the party to get there?
I think in this case they actually might have been all there, but no, it does not say that.
Yeah.
It actually doesn't say if they were all there, come to think of it.
Yeah. Come to find out, there was no 15 people. We just like to have our arm space. Thank you.
Exactly. Now, not surprisingly, the internet is very much on the side of the hostess on this one. Give notice with a party that large, period. Or, oh, hell no, I'm on the server side, call ahead.
Yeah, right.
And, like, many people are extremely curious about the hostess's perspective on the event. Because, I mean, it seems kind of odd that, you know, that everyone else seemed to have no problem with this woman whatsoever. And they all liked her. And just the only issue is you. It just strikes me that... You're just an issue.
You're such an issue.
I mean, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it. And I don't know. I guess a lot of times when people complain about retail or the restaurant or fast food, or a lot of times is people just don't understand. So I guess if I learned something new, I guess it makes sense why I didn't think of it before. But if I knew a place didn't take reservations and I had a party of 15, I wouldn't call. I'd just, you know, Trojan horse them. Here we go. We're all here. But, you know, I guess it would make sense to say, hey, we're all coming in.
I mean, that would be the courteous thing to do, I would argue. I mean, I've gone out with parties of like 20, 25 people or more to places with people who don't believe in calling ahead. And then get offended when they can't get served right away.
Yeah.
And also are like can be super bitchy the second that the order's screwed up.
Oh,
and
oh yeah. Whether you have reservations, you send them a certified mail letting them know that you're all coming in. Still got to be understanding that it's a big party. Deal with it.
Right. Like things are just going to happen. Like sometimes it makes me think about who I want to go, because I'm already like, I don't like going out with people that are like, you know, that treat their service industry people like garbage. Like,
yeah, because you get roped into it.
Yeah, like, and now I feel like I'm stuck here in a party of in a position of having to apologize for the people that I've shown up at your restaurant with. Yeah. That I have to go and tip you after the fact because they just apparently decided at some point they weren't going to because they latched onto something they don't like about you and we're just not going to let it go. We know. I feel like we've known people like this.
There's yes.
People I'm not friends with anymore because they continuously did stuff like this.
Yes.
Like, there's just, I'm like 95% of the time going to be on the side of the person who's, you know, in the service industry position. I mean, there are some times where I'm kind of annoyed. Like, you know, a place I go into, a local, sandwich shop in the area where the dude, like, clearly hates his job, does not want to be there, and has no problem letting you know it. And it's not even like it's a dive bar or something where you kind of expect this sort of abuse.
Right,
Like, you're making subs, man. What are we doing here? But still, also, by that same token, I've watched people walk into that same restaurant and bitch that same person out because they didn't have, you know, they had like 20 takeout or mobile orders that they had to make and did not like being told they were going to have to wait and just got all pissy about it, slammed the door of the place on their way out. So I also kind of totally get why.
Yeah.
Like, you see why these people are dead on the inside. It's because customer service, you know, customers in general just kind of make you that way.
Yes, they do.
It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge and turn things over to Adam's Beekeeping Daily coming up at 6 o'clock. Should be a good time all the way around.
How Not to Get Stung, Chapter 5.
But no, we have a full hour of local original music coming your way next on a little show we like to call Solid State Sessions. Back at it tomorrow at 3 with NFL overreactions, wing stuff, and whatever the hell else we find time for. All being well, talk to you then. See ya.